Welcome to Poetry Lectures, presented by PoetryFoundation.org. This is the second of two programs devoted to futurism and poetic manifestos. Last month's program featured readings by two poets and manifesto writers, Charles Bernstein and A.E. Stallings.
I love originality so much, I keep copying it.
Rhyme is an engine of syntax. Like meter, it understands the importance of prepositions.
This month, it's Joshua Mahegan.
Your technique is a welter of narcissism, superstition, and habit.
And Thomas Sayers Ellis.
The old style of representing likeness is over.
And lurking behind everyone is the founder of Futurism, Filippo Tommaso Marinetti.
We intend to destroy museums, libraries, academies of every sort, and to fight against moralism, feminism, and every utilitarian or opportunistic cowardice.
All this comes from an event at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, in which MoMA and the Poetry Foundation marked the 100th anniversary of the publication of Marinetti's The Futurist Manifesto. Today, we'll hear contemporary manifestos along with historical writings by Marinetti and other futurists. We'll begin with The Final Manifesto, written by Joshua Mahegan. Mahegan's poetry has been published in the New York Times, Plowshares, Poetry Magazine, and various anthologies. His first book, The Optimist, was published in 2004. The Final Manifesto epitomizes the strident tone of earlier manifestos, dismissing all theories and notions that came before while asserting its own supremacy. Here's Joshua Mahegan.
Manifesto. 1. We see you. 2. We know who you are. 3. Your ideas are worthless. 4. Your aesthetic is stupid. 5. Your technique is a welter of narcissism, superstition, and habit. 6. All your tiny little ideas, all your whoring attempts at creation, and you yourself are nothing. Nobody wants you. We despise you. It's in our nature. 7. You should be kept as a pet. 8. You are a Philistine, the Paul Bunyan of decadence, an acromegalic fraud. 9. You are a minnow, a speck, a stain. 10. The genre humain is sick, and you are to blame. 11. You are a necrophiliac. 12. You are a museum of irrelevance. 13. It will take years to make art vital and important again. 14. You are from this moment forbidden. 15. As the Italians say, para quando pisce la gallina. 16. We are here now. 17. Our aesthetics is empirically grounded. 18. Our taste will be raised to principle. 19. You and your band of jays will be flushed out. 20. Yes, art is resurrected today. Victory is ours. 21. History will forget you and salute us. 22. Here you are, and here is oblivion. 23. This is the final manifesto and the only one. Thank you.
That was Joshua Mahegan reading his The Final Manifesto, which was first published in Poetry Magazine in February 2009. Our next performer is Thomas Sayers Ellis, a poet and photographer who is known as an innovative and activist writer. He was born and raised in Washington, D.C., which is the setting for his first book, The Maverick Room. His manifesto both describes and demonstrates a new performance discipline. It's called The New Performathon. Here's Thomas Sayers Ellis.
The new perform a form, a page versus stage alliance. The performance body, via breathing and gesture, dramatizes form. It makes it theater. It makes it action. It makes it living, alive, as in get live, as in all the way live, as in lyric. The idea body, via text and thought, flattens form. It makes it fixed. It makes it language. It makes it literature and imagined living, as in artifice. The work of the performance body is not without craft, control, or form. It is not lowly. The work of the idea body is not without attitude, improvisation, or flow. It is not closed. A perform a form occurs when the idea body and the performance body, frustrated by their own segregated aesthetic boundaries, seek to crossroads with one another. This coupling, though detrimental to aspects of their individual traditions, will repair and continue the living word. One, the old style of representing likeness is over, and performers, though appreciative of metaphor and simile, etc., no longer need either to express nuance in poetry. The matrimony of page and stage insists on eliminating the false functions between the line and the limb. All rhyme schemes reborn as gesture, as sculptural integrity. Two, a performer form line breaks many times verbally before it breaks the last time visually. If written, it is written more like blood than bone. If spoken, it is spoken more like stutter than song. Performer forms do not lie on the page or on the stage, frozen in little boxes or voices, unable to interact with the reader or listener, as if on a table in a morgue. Three, performer formists seek a path around both academic and slam poetry to eliminate the misconceptions between them and to balance the professional opportunities in publishing and employment open to each. The utterance, paged or memorized, is only a schema in need of diverse modes of respiration. Four, against the narrowness of linearity, a performer former will subject its own composition to the rigor of audience participation. You can't workshop a performer form, but you can participate in its creation and correction, able to surrender to the collective sensibility of the community, not the critic's scalpel. The last great performer former was Sekou Sundiata. Five, a well-crafted performer form will continue to pour after it is written or performed. This pouring, akin to echoing, should reclaim the original attributes of poetry from nature and cinema. Despite history, the performer poet seeks carnivorous wholeness, a gluttonous diet of the anatomy of the artiverse. And while it is rare to attend a poetry reading festival or conference and see poets, established and emerging, white and black, gay and straight, academic and non-academic, being treated as equals, consequently, it is even rarer to discover literary editors and publishers open to all levels of class intelligence and class ignorance. The first task of activism of any performance is the removal of all one-dimensional judges of craft. Thank you.
That was Thomas Sayers Ellis reading his manifesto, The New Performathon, which was first published in Poetry Magazine. For the rest of this program, we'll hear Ellis and Mahigan reading futurist manifestos from the early 20th century. F.T. Marinetti praised the speed and efficiency of machines in the modern world. He was also a staunch supporter of Italian nationalism and the fascists. He even advocated war as a means to erase the undesirable remnants of antiquated culture. This is Joshua Mahigan reading the Futurist Synthesis of the War, written in 1914 by Marinetti and Umberto Boccioni, Carlo Carrà, Luigi Russolo, and Ugo Piatti.
Futurist Synthesis of the War, from the Milanese Cell, September 20th, 1914, Directory of the Futurist Movement, Corso Venezia 61, Milan. We glorify war, which for us is the only hygiene of the world, whereas for the Germans, it serves as a fat feast for crows and hyenas. The old cathedrals do not interest, but we deny medieval, plagiarist, clumsy Germany, unendowed with creative genius, the futuristic right to destroy works of art. This right belongs solely to the Italian creative genius, capable of creating a new and greater beauty on the ruins of the old. Futurism, elasticity, intuitive synthesis, invention, multiplication of forces, invisible order, creative genius, against rigidity, analysis, methodical imitation, addition of idiocies, numismatic order, German culture, Germany, sheepishness, awkwardness, philosophical fumes, heaviness, crudeness, brutality, espionage, professional pedantry, archaeology, constipation of industrial Camelots, botchers and gaffers. Futurism, Marinetti, Boccioni, Carrà, Russolo, Piatti, against Austria, idiocy, filthiness, ferocity, police dimwittedness, clotted blood, gallows, espionage, bigotry, papalism, inquisition, requisition, bedbugs, priests. Turkey equals zero. Futurism, Serbia, independence, ambition, temerity. Belgium, energy, will, initiative, industrial perfection. France, intelligence, courage, speed, elegance, spontaneity, explosiveness, ease. Russia, power, solidity, impregnability, quantity. England, practical spirit, sense of duty, commercial honesty, respect for individuality. Montenegro, independence, ambition, temerity. Japan, agility, progress, resoluteness. Italy, all the strengths, all the weaknesses of genius. Eight people poets against their pedantic critics. Against passéism. Futurismo contro passéism. Thank you.
That was Joshua Mahigan reading from Futurist Synthesis of the War. Next, in a similar vein, we hear an attack on beauty by Marinetti in his Multiplied Man and the Religion of the Machine from War, the World's Only Hygiene, read by Thomas Sayers Ellis. There's some static from the microphone at the beginning of this, but please bear with it. It disappears about a minute in.
All this will have prepared you to understand one of our principal futurist efforts, namely the abolition in literature of the seemingly unchallengeable fusion of the two ideas, woman and beauty, which has reduced all of romanticism to a kind of heroic assault leveled by a bellicose and lyric male against enemies who cluster around the divine beauty woman. Novels like The Workers of the Sea by Victor Hugo or Salammbô by Flaubert can explain my point. It is a matter of a dominant leitmotif, tiresome and outworn, of which we want to disembarrass literature and art in general. Consequently, we are developing and proclaiming a great new idea that runs through modern life, the idea of mechanical beauty. We therefore exalt love for the machine, that love we notice flaming on the cheeks of mechanics scorched and smeared with coal. Have you never seen a mechanic lovingly at work on the great, powerful body of his locomotive? His is the minute, knowing tenderness of a lover caressing his adored woman. One can say of the great French railway strike that the organizers were unable to persuade a single mechanic to sabotage his locomotive. To me, this seems entirely natural. How could one of those men have been able to wound or kill his great, faithful, devoted mistress? With her quick and ardent heart, his beautiful steel machine that had so often glowed with pleasure beneath his ardent caress. This is no fantasy, but almost a reality that in a few years we will be easily able to control. You surely must have heard the remarks that owners of boom, boom automobiles and factory directors commonly make. Motors, they say, are truly mysterious. They seem to have personalities, souls, wills. They have whims, freakish impulses. You must caress them, treat them respectfully, never mishandle or overtire them. If you behave like this, your machine of fused iron and steel, comma, this motor built to exact specifications, will give you back not only what you put into it, but double or triple, much more and much better than the calculations of its builder. Its father made provisions for. Hence, we must prepare for the imminent, inevitable identification of man with motor, facilitating and perfecting a constant interchange of intuition, rhythm, instinct, and metallic discipline of which the majority are wholly ignorant, which is guessed at by the most lucid spirits. It is certain that if we grant the truth of Lamarck's transformational hypothesis, we admit that we look for the creation of a non-human type in whom moral suffering, goodness at heart, affection and love, those soul corrosion poison of inexhaustible vital energy, soul interrupters of our powerful bodily electricity will be abolished. We believe in the possibility of an incalculable number of human transformations. And without a smile, we declare that wings are asleep in the flesh of man. On the day when man will be able to externalize his will and make it into a huge invisible arm, dream, let me hear you say, dream, and desire, which are empty words today, will master and reign over space and time. This non-human mechanical being constructed from an omnipresent velocity will be naturally cruel, omniscient, and combative. He will be endowed with surprising organs, organs adapted to the need of the world of ceaseless shocks. From now on, we can foresee a bodily development in the form of a prow from the onward swell of the breastbone, which will be the more marked, the better an aviator of the man of the future becomes. One sees development precisely among the birds who are the better flyers. You can easily understand these seemingly paradoxical hypotheses by studying the phenomena of externalized will that continually reveal themselves at spiritual seances. Furthermore, it is certain, and you can verify it, that today you increasingly find ordinary people with no culture or education, but nonetheless gifted with what I call the great mechanical divination, or the metallic scent. This is because such workers are already being educated by the machine and are coming into some relationship with motors. Future man will reduce his to its true distributive function. The heart must, in some way, become a kind of stomach for the brain, which will methodically empty and fill so that the spirit can go into action. You meet men today who go through life almost without love. In a fine, steel-colored atmosphere, let us act in such a way that the number of these exemplary men may increase. These energetic beings have no sweet mistress to visit in the evening, but each morning they love to check perfect working of their factories. We are also convinced that art and literature exercise a determining influence on all social classes, even the most ignorant, who drink them in through mysterious infiltrations. We can therefore speed or retard the movement of humanity toward this form of life. We believe in the usefulness of artistic propaganda against the proselytizing conception of the Don Giovanni and his comic side kick, the cuckold. When we free ourselves, these two themes, we will have been freed from the great morbid phenomenon of jealousy, which is nothing but a product of Don Giovannian vanity. The immense amore of the Romantics is thus reduced solely to the conservation of the species, and the friction of the epidermis is finally freed from all provocative mystery, from all appetizing spice, from all dangy vanity, a simple bodily function like eating and drinking. The multiplied man we dream of will never know the tragedy of old age. To this, the young modern male, finally nauseated by erotic books and the double alcohol of lust and sentiment, finally inoculated against the disease of amore, will methodically learn to destroy in himself all the sorrows of the heart daily, lacerating his affections and infinitely distracting his sex with swift, casual contacts with women. Our frank optimism thus neatly challenges the pessimism of Schopenhauer, the bitter philosopher who so often threatens seductive revolver of his philosophy to destroy our profound nausea for amore with the capital A. It is precisely with this revolver that we gaily shoot down the grand romantic moonshine. End.
Thomas Sayers Ellis reading Multiplied Man and the Religion of the Machine by F.T. Marinetti. In addition to all their notions of destruction, the futurists also had artistic theories that were expressed primarily in the visual arts. They experimented with typography, layout design, grammar, and punctuation when publishing their manifestos. They also tried to apply their theories to other areas, including toys, as you'll hear in the next work, The Futurist Reconstruction of the Universe, written in 1915 by Giacomo Balla and Fortunato DePero, and read here by Joshua Mahegan.
The Futurist Reconstruction of the Universe. With the technical manifesto of futurist painting and the preface to the catalog of the Futurist Exhibition in Paris, signed by Boccioni, Carrà, Russolo, Balla, Severini, with the manifesto of futurist sculpture, signed by Boccioni, the manifesto of the painting of sounds, noises, and smells, signed by Carrà, with the volume Futurist Painting and Sculpture by Boccioni and Carrà's War Painting, pictorial futurism has succeeded in the course of 6 years in progressing beyond Impressionism and in solidifying it, proposing plastic dynamism in the molding of the atmosphere, interpenetration of planes and states of mind, the lyrical appreciation of the universe by means of Marinetti's Words and Freedom and Russolo's Art of Noises, combines with plastic dynamism to provide a dynamic, simultaneous, plastic, and noisest expression of the universal vibration. We futurists, Balla and DePero, seek to realize this total fusion in order to reconstruct the universe, making it more joyful, in other words, by a complete recreation. We will give skeleton and flesh to the invisible, the impalpable, the imponderable, and the imperceptible. We will find abstract equivalents for every form and element in the universe, and then we will combine them according to the caprice of our inspiration, creating plastic complexes which we will set in motion. Balla initially studied the speed of automobiles, thus discovering the laws and essential line forces of speed. After more than 20 exploratory paintings, he understood that the flat plane of the canvas prevented him from reproducing the dynamic volume of speed in depth. Balla felt the need to construct with strands of wire, cardboard sheets, fabrics, tissue paper, etc., the first dynamic plastic complex. 1. Abstract. 2. Dynamic, relative movement, cinematographic, plus absolute movement. 3, extremely transparent because of the speed and volatility of the plastic complex, which must appear and disappear, light and impalpable. 4, brightly colored and extremely luminous, using internal lights. 5, autonomous, that is, resembling itself alone. 6, transformable. 7, dramatic. 8, volatile. 9, odorous. 10, noise creating, simultaneous plastic noisiness with plastic expression. 11, explosive, elements appear and disappear simultaneously with a bang. The free wordist Marinetti, when we showed him our first plastic complexes, said enthusiastically, quote, "Before us, art consisted of memory, anguished re-evocation of a lost object, happiness, love, landscape, and therefore nostalgia, immobility, pain, distance. With futurism, art has become action art, that is, energy of will, optimism, aggression, possession, penetration, joy, brutal reality in art. E.g., onomatopoeia, e.g., intono rumori equals motors. Geometric splendor of forces, forward projection, art becomes presence, a new object, the new reality created with the abstract elements of the universe. The hands of the traditionalist artist ache for the lost object. Our hands long for a new object to create. That is why the new object, plastic complex, appears miraculously in yours," end quote. Material construction of the plastic complex. Necessary means: colored strands of wire, cotton, wool, silk of every thickness, colored glass, tissue paper, celluloid, wire netting, every sort of transparent and bright material, fabrics, mirrors, sheets of metal, colored tinfoil, every sort of gaudy material, mechanical and electrical devices, musical and noise-making elements, chemically luminous liquids of variable colors, springs, levers, tubes, etc. With these means, we will construct rotations, 1, plastic complexes rotating on a pivot, horizontal, vertical, oblique. 2, plastic complexes rotating on several pivots. 1, in the same direction but with varying speeds. 2, in opposite directions. 3, in the same and opposite directions. Decompositions. 3, plastic complexes which break up 1 into volumes, 2 into layers, 3 in successive transformations. Cones, pyramids, spheres, etc. 4, plastic complexes which break up, talk, make noises, and play music simultaneously. Decomposition, transformation, then form plus expansion, then onomatopoeias, sounds, noises. Miracle magic, 5, plastic complexes which appear and disappear, 1, slowly, 2, by repeated jerks in scales, 3, with unexpected explosions. Pyrotechnics, water, fire, smoke. The discovery, infinite systematic invention. Using complex constructive noise-producing abstraction, in short, the futurist style, every action developed in space, every emotion felt, will represent for us a possible discovery. Examples: watching an airplane swiftly climbing while a band played in the square, we had the idea of plastic motor noise music in space, and the launching of aerial concerts above the city. The need to keep changing our environment together with sport led us to the idea of transformable clothes, mechanical trimming, surprises, tricks, disappearance of individuals. The simultaneity of speed and noises inspired the rotoplastic noise fountain. Tearing up a book and throwing it down into a courtyard resulted in phono-moto-plastic advertisement and pyrotechnic plastic abstract contests. A spring garden blown by the wind led to the concept of the magical transformable motor noise flower. Clouds flying in a storm suggested buildings in noisest transformable style. The futurist toy. In games and toys, as in all traditionalist manifestations, there is nothing but grotesque imitation, timidity, little trains, prams, puppets, immobile objects, stupid caricatures of domestic objects, anti-gymnastic and monotonous, which can only cretinize and depress a child. With plastic complexes, we will construct toys which will accustom the child, one, to completely spontaneous laughter through absurdly comical tricks, two, to maximum elasticity without resorting to thrown projectiles, whip cracking, pinpricks, etc. Three, to imaginative impulses by using fantastic toys to be studied under a magnifying glass, small boxes to be opened at night containing pyrotechnic marvels, transforming devices, etc. Four, to the continual exercise and sharpening of his sensitivity in the unbounded realms of acute and exciting noises, smells, and colors. Five, to physical courage, to fighting, and to war with gigantic, dangerous, and aggressive toys that will work outdoors. The futurist toy will be very useful to adults, too, keeping them young, agile, jubilant, spontaneous, ready for anything, untiring, instinctive, and intuitive. The artificial landscape. By developing the first synthesis of the speed of an automobile, Bala created the first plastic ensemble. This revealed an abstract landscape composed of cones, pyramids, polyhedrons, and the spiral of mountains, rivers, lights, and shadows. Evidently, a profound analogy exists between the essential line forces of speed and the essential line forces of a landscape. We have reached the deepest essence of the universe and have mastered the elements. We shall thus be able to construct. The metallic animal. Fusion of art plus science. Chemistry, physics, continuous and unexpected pyrotechnics, all incorporated into a new creature, a creature that will speak, shout, and dance automatically. We futurists, Bala and DePero, will construct millions of metallic animals for the greatest war, conflagration of all the creative energies of Europe, Asia, Africa, and America, which will undoubtedly follow the current marvelous little human conflagration. The inventions contained in the manifesto are absolute creations generated entirely by Italian futurism. No artist in France, Russia, England, or Germany anticipated us by inventing anything similar or analogous. Only the Italian genius, which is the most constructive and architectural, could invent the abstract plastic ensemble. With this, futurism has determined its style, which will inevitably dominate the sensibility of many centuries to come. End.
That was Joshua Mohegan reading The Futurist Reconstruction of the Universe by Giacomo Bala and Fortunato DePero. To finish the program, we'll give the last word to Marinetti through a kind of one-man call-and-response interpretation by Thomas Sayers Ellis. He takes it one paragraph at a time, first only the vowels, no consonants, expressed with an exaggerated melody, then a translation revealing the complete words of the passage. Here's Thomas Sayers Ellis performing Marinetti's Manifesto of the Futurist Dance.
Translation, Manifesto of the Futuristic Dance, without the consonants. Translation. Once the glorious Italian ballet was dead and buried, there began in Europe stylations of savage dances, elegant versions of exotic dances, modernizations of ancient dances, Parisian red pepper plus panache plus shield plus lance plus ecstasy in front of idols that have lost all meaning, plus undulations of Montmartre thighs equal an erotic pasias acronym for foreigners. Dot, dot, dot. Translation. With Nijinsky, the pure geometry of the dance, free of mimicry and without sexual stimulation, appears for the first time. Translation. Isadora Duncan creates the free dance with no preparatory mind that ignores musculature and eurythmy in order to devote everything to emotional expression, to the aerial order of its steps, but fundamentally she merely proposes to intensify, enrich, and modulate in 100 different ways the rhythm of a woman's body that languidly rejects, languidly invokes, languidly accepts, and languidly regrets the masculine giver of erotic happiness. A C snuck in there that time. Did you hear it? Translation. Isadora Duncan, who I often had the pleasure of admiring in her free improvisations among the veils of Mother Pearl, smoke of her atelier, used to dance freely, thoughtlessly, as if talking, desiring, loving, weeping to any sort of little tune, no matter how vulgar, like Mariette, mon petit Mariette, strummed on the piano, but she never managed to project anything but the most complex feelings of desperate nostalgia, of spasmodic sensuality and cheerfulness, childishly feminine. Translation. There are many points of contact between Isadora's art and pictorial impressionism, as there are between Nijinsky's art and Cézanne's constructions of volumes and forms. So, naturally, under the influence of the Cubist researchers and of Picasso especially, a dance of geometricized volumes was created, almost independent of the music. Dance became an autonomous art, the music's equal, dance, no longer submitted to the music, it replaced it. And I want to see it, Nella, oh, hey, oh, Ellie, it's a hey, Translation. In a much more modern spirit, Delacroze has created a very interesting rhythmic gymnastics, which nevertheless limits its limits to muscular hygiene and the description of the work of the fields. We futurists prefer Louis Fula and the cakewalk of the Negroes, utilization of electric light and mechanisms. One must go beyond muscular possibilities and aim in the dance for the ideal multiplied body of the motor that we have so long dreamed of. One must imitate the movements of machines with gestures, pay assiduous court to steering wheels, ordinary wheels, pistons, therefore preparing the fusion of man with a machine to achieve the metallicity of the futuristic dance. Thank you.
That was Thomas Sayers Ellis performing Manifesto of the Futurist Dance. The reading was part of Futurism and the New Manifesto, which took place on February 20th, 2009, at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. The event was a collaboration by the Museum of Modern Art and the Poetry Foundation. You can hear more excerpts from the event on the previous Poetry Lectures podcast, which featured Charles Bernstein and A.E. Stallings. The contemporary manifestos by these four poets were published in Poetry Magazine in February 2009. You can read these and other manifestos, as well as a wide selection of historical poetics essays in the Poetry Learning Lab, at poetryfoundation.org. You'll also find articles about poetry, an online archive of more than 8,000 poems, and other audio programs to download. I'm Ed Herman. Thanks for listening to Poetry Lectures from poetryfoundation.org.